Now to a blood test that's real. And for this study, we're back at Austin Health in Melbourne, who are getting a big run today on the Health Report. A research group there may have found a blood test that could predict your chances of having a heart attack, heart failure, or even dying of heart disease over the next 10 years if you've already got heart disease. The group leader is Louise Burrow, who's Professor of Medicine at the Austin and the University of Melbourne. Welcome to the Health Report, Louise.
Thank you. Good evening, Norman.
So what's this substance ACE2, which is what you've been testing for?
So ACE2 is an enzyme, and it's located on the endothelial cells, which line all the blood vessels in the body. And it's present there along with another enzyme, ACE. And normally it sits there in the endothelial cell. What we found was it's shed into the circulation in the presence of coronary artery disease.
In small amounts, so it's not easily detectable.
Well, it's in health, it's levels are very low to undetectable in healthy people, in our healthy volunteers. So the first thing we found was if you have coronary artery disease or atherosclerosis, the levels were significantly increased.
So is it a sign of arterial stress?
I think that's one way to look at it, or endothelial dysfunction. It might be giving us a readout on your overall state of your blood vessels.
And if the endothelium, the lining of your blood vessels, is unhealthy, you're more likely to get blood clots and thrombosis and blockage.
Yes, and atherosclerosis, yes. So there's a number of ways that your blood vessels could be stressed. It could be high blood pressure or diabetes or so on.
So what did you do in this study?
Well, we recruited patients who were having coronary angiograms from the cath lab at Austin Health. So they were people who were already high risk. They either needed the coronary angiogram to investigate whether they had coronary disease or they were actually having a heart attack. And we took samples for ACE2 and a number of other biomarkers. But we took the samples and found that patients that were at increased risk with the 10-year follow-up, they had significantly higher levels compared to the people who were at a lower risk, even though they were all very high risk.
So just backing up a little bit, so this is like 10 years ago, you took all these people, you took their blood, you measured them, then you followed them for 10 years to see what happened to them.
It is. That's what we did. And it's interesting listening to Lindsay, because that was a student project. And this was actually a student project, Dr. Jay Ramchand, who's now a cardiologist doing his PhD with me. So when we first got the results, it's fine. They're higher if you have coronary disease. But it's because of that long-term follow-up, we could actually look at if levels predicted an adverse outcome.
And how closely predictive were they of death, heart attack, or heart failure?
It was highly significant on the statistical testing. So it was a 2.5-fold increased risk.
So not inevitable, just an increased risk.
It was an increased risk.
And it's early stages because this is a preliminary study in a sense.
Yeah.
But you've got absolute risk scores. So in other words, you can do a score on people. What's your blood cholesterol level? What's your age? Will you smoke? What's your family history? And so on. And you can calculate your 10-year chances of having a heart attack. Is this more accurate than your absolute risk score based on that sort of brief questionnaire?
I don't know that we can say that yet. I should point out that the patients in the two groups, so those at higher and lesser risk, were quite evenly matched in terms of what the cholesterol, the blood pressure, etc.
So it was independent then? So this really predicted it over and above those five factors?
Yes, it was the only independent predictor of that combined composite endpoint over 10 years.
Now, when you've had a heart attack, you're often put on what are called ACE inhibitors. So they inhibit these enzymes. Can you actually inhibit this, and does it make a difference?
Okay, so the ACE inhibitors...
This is where I've shown my ignorance, isn't it?
No, because this is a relatively new area, ACE2. It was only discovered like past 10 to 15 years. So ACE is part of the classical renin angiotensin system, and we know if that system is activated, it contributes to adverse outcomes in infarcts, heart failure, etc. And that's why drugs were developed to inhibit ACE or to block the angiotensin receptor. So the discovery of ACE2 That's sort of the good side of the renin-angiotensin system. It has the opposite effects to ACE. So you could
consider, it's like an ACE inhibitor itself.
It's an it's the body's natural
ACE inhibitor. So why doesn't it work in protecting, or maybe it is working to protect these people, but it's working, it's showing that it's having to work hard. Is that what you're saying?
That is, you've got it in one. So it's turned on to try and dampen down the traditional renin-angiotensin system, but it gets overwhelmed. And we think that it's because it's shed into the blood, it's not present either in the blood vessels or in the tissues where it needs to be doing its job.
So the next step is to try and find something that will inhibit it, will help it out.
Yes, exactly. But first of all, we have to replicate our findings. So this was a small study. It's very exciting, but we need to do it in a much larger cohort.
It'll just be another excuse to get Austin Health back on the Health Report. Louise,
thank you. And the University of Melbourne.
And the University of Melbourne. Let's give everybody their credit. Louise, thanks for joining us. Louise Burrell, who's Professor of Medicine at the University of Melbourne and Austin Health in Melbourne. I'm Norman Swan. This has been the Health Report. I'll see you next week.